Today's Holy Gospel gives us two themes that gloriously intersect. One is the sending of the Holy Spirit, and the other is the persecution that will be experienced by those who confess and preach God's Holy Word. Thus, it is a bit of an odd Sunday. For many of you celebrated with us at Redeemer in Highland this past Thursday, the Ascension of our Lord. The Ascension, which is not a cause for sorrow, but a wonderful blessing where God Himself now visits us throughout the world, filling all the earth with His glorious presence. But so also, we're waiting. We're in longing and hopeful expectation for next Sunday, that is Pentecost and the sending of the Spirit. And so in between, we hear of persecution and suffering that the disciples will experience, but we also hear of the Spirit. The Spirit, whom we confess in the third article of the Creed, is Almighty and Eternal God, one and the same with the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the Father, three in one, and one in three. But here He is given a special name. Jesus says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father." When the Helper comes, the Spirit is your helper. Sometimes it is translated as comforter. This all comes from the Greek word, which we occasionally stumble across. We will next week in our Pentecost hymns. He is called the Paraclete. Sometimes Paraclete is translated as advocate. And all these are true. The Spirit lifts you up in your weakness. He comforts you in your sorrow and distress. He advocates for you before the Father and the Son. He is the Paraclete. And this is a wonderful gift. First, for the disciples, of course. Jesus says, "I have said these things about the Spirit to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues." In other words, kick you out of church. "Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering a service to God. Indeed, the disciples, all but one, legend has it, suffered the martyr's death. And they will do these things." Why? "Because they have not known the Father, and nor the Son," Jesus. That's what's in store for the disciples after our Lord dies, rises, and ascends. They will experience persecution. They will suffer. They will even die for this word that they proclaim. They need a comforter. They need the Holy Spirit so that they can bear the persecution of the church, bear through their suffering. Indeed, a comforter actually is only useful for those who do experience persecution or suffering or burdens. Who else needs to be comforted? Those who have burdens and sorrows, who know that death is on their doorstep. Perhaps those who have to face an enemy, even death for their faith, and shame for who they are. These are the kind of people that need comfort. So it is for you. The world would seek to undermine your faith, to say that Christianity is just a faith of hypocrites. So also your own conscience would seek to condemn you, to burden you, cause you shame and suffering. Your conscience would say to you that you have not been good enough, that God does not love you, that you are a sinner, and there's no hope for you. That's whom He sends the Spirit for the disciples and for you, to comfort you by removing this despair, these burdens, this sorrow. And He does it by His word. The word of promise, the word of Jesus, silences the judgment of this world that says that Christianity is a false and misleading dream. It silences the judgment of your own thoughts, which say that you haven't been good enough. Or perhaps also silences the thoughts of your conscience, which says that you don't need Jesus, that you are good enough for God, that you have earned your way into heaven. He silences all these judgments and brings you comfort. There are two kinds of comfort in the scriptures and in this world. The first of the world is a false comfort. Goods, fame, child and wife, Luther would say, or honor, power, taking extra authority over others, tormenting some, even being led into temptation by your greed, by your lust. These things people go to for comfort, for hope in a dying world. But they are poor and they are uncertain. There is no hope in them. Indeed, there is no comfort. Instead, our Lord gives us his Spirit, the true comfort, one that cannot fail, who silences the lies of the devil, who is a rogue and deceiver, who overcomes your fright at God's holy law, who lifts you up when you are discouraged, grants you peace when you feel miserable. When you think that you are forsaken by God, he instead reminds you that you are his child, God's child. And when you are hated by the world, he reminds you, oh, what of that? God loves me. Heaven awaits me. That is to say, the Spirit is also given another name. Jesus says, when the Helper comes, the one who I will send to you from the Father, is also called the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father. Another name, the Truth One, the one who speaks of truth, who is genuine, eternal, and perpetual. What truth does he speak? Well, that is a good question. The comfort that can only come by the one and only truth, the truth that Jesus speaks of. The Spirit bears witness of me, of Jesus. This isn't a counterfeit, temporary, or false kind of comfort. It's the only kind of comfort that truly can silence all your fears and terrors. Think of God's own servant, John the Baptist. John the Baptist preached God's holy word without fear, knowing full well that he would be rejected for this word, this baptism of repentance that he preached by the Jordan. So also he knew that when he preached God's holy law, speaking against Herod's taking his brother's wife, Herodias, that this too would cause him suffering, indeed being put into prison and eventually having his head removed. And yet in the midst of this proclamation of God's word, speaking the truth in love as John did, he had a hope and a comfort. The same hope and comfort you have. He could face even death knowing that he was God's own child. That joy, the joys of heaven awaited him. That his body would soon be relieved of its poor, sinful character, and on the last day rise in the resurrection of all the dead. John had hope in the midst of great suffering and even death. So it is a dilemma for you. God has promised this comfort, and yet you don't feel that comforted. Your conscience says to you otherwise. Perhaps you feel comfortable in your sin. Or perhaps you feel like God could never love someone like you. That is the way of experience. We are to expect the opposite of what we would hope for. Jesus promises the disciples, he promises his pastors, he promises everyone joined into his body in the church that they will suffer for his name, that they will die all the day, that they will feel like there are lambs being led to the slaughter. They will feel like God has forsaken them, that it is a struggle for bread, a struggle for house and home. Of course, this is the voice that the Holy Spirit suppresses, this voice of torment in your conscience, the voice that the world would speak, saying that you are a lousy Christian, that you don't follow God's word as you should. Spirit speaks and says the truth. Comfort. But what sort of comfort? The comfort that comes when he bears witness about Jesus. But what about Jesus? The one whom is sent by the Father. And the Father and the Son both send the Spirit to bring you comfort. Jesus, the one whom the devil is frightened of, whom the world hates. The truth. True comfort. Not food or house or money or honor, even health or long life. But comfort in the Jesus. And not just any Jesus, not Mr. Nice Guy Jesus, but Jesus who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, who died and was buried, who rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. That's the word of comfort that the Spirit brings. If you are afraid of God, look to Jesus. For Jesus has broken that separation with God, and you have access again to the Father by the Spirit. Are you tormented by your sin? Then see how your sin was crucified in Christ upon the cross. Does shame or guilt weigh you down? See how our Lord's own flesh and blood took that shame and guilt from you. You see, no matter what your conscience may tell you, no matter what the world would seek to do to you, you know that God loves you. For Jesus, his Son, suffered death for you. He means well. He is your brother. And you are comforted.